when the Spirit is referenced throughout the from the Old Testament on through the New Testament. Now we're into the book of Acts. And this is what we most recognize is when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, as we're familiar as Christians. We're familiar with that ministry. And of course, you know, in a lot of evangelical circles, we're not you're not going to hear as much about these particular events as the ones I'm going to bring out. But what's important to realize is that when you are talking about the Holy Spirit, you have to talk about what He does. And when they're talking about the Holy Spirit, referencing the Holy Spirit, they're not talking about doing a good deed per se. What they're what they begin to talk about is what God is doing through individuals. Amen? It's what God is doing through individuals to demonstrate His Word, to demonstrate His power. That is what is necessary. The Holy Spirit is necessary. When you remember that Jesus came on the night that He was, of the day that He was resurrected, He came into the room with the doors shut. He came in and He said, "Peace be to you." He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, you remember beforehand at dinner, three nights before, He had said, "Now, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you another Comforter. And He is going to lead you into all truth. He's going to show you things to come. He's going to take of mine and show it to you. There's many things that I wanted to share with you, but I could not share them now." And so all of this time that Jesus is talking to His disciples about what He is going to be doing in the coming days. He's going to be talking about what's happening when I leave and after I come back. Now, on Sunday night, He's come in and He says, "Peace be to you." Then He's breathed on them. The word Spirit means breath. The word Spirit in the Greek, pneuma, like pneumatic, you know, pneumatic tools and drills. The word pneuma means Spirit. He breathed on them. He breathed on them. He pneumaed on them. He breathed on them. And He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So He used breath and said at that moment, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." I don't know about you. I believe they received the Holy Ghost when He breathed on them. Amen? They received the indwelling Holy Spirit. At that hour, they received the indwelling Holy Spirit. Each one who believed, who was in that room, received the indwelling Holy Spirit. Then, as the ministry of the gospel and the good news continued, everyone who believed receives that Spirit. We'll see that further on. We'll see that further documented, say, for instance, in Acts chapter 19. Now, Jesus said another thing. 40 days later, He said one other thing. He said, "Now, don't go anywhere." He spent 40 days teaching them about the kingdom of heaven. Spent 40 days discussing with them after He was risen again. We don't really think about this too much, you know. But for 40 days, He taught them about the kingdom of heaven. So He was teaching them what was going to be taking place, what had been done, what had changed. Now, He begins to teach you and me through the Holy Spirit. Now, at the time of the ascension, after 40 days, what did Jesus tell them to do? Anybody remember? Wait. Okay, you guys, I'm gonna take off, and you guys get busy. No, that's not what He said. He said, in fact, wait in town. Don't go anywhere until you be endued with power from on high. Now you'll remember, 40 days before that, He breathed on them. He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." But then, 40 days later, He said, "Now don't go anywhere until you are endued or baptized with the Holy Spirit, given power from on high." two instances of the Holy Spirit being given. One, the indwelling. Two, the exhibition, the outward, the rivers of living water. First of all, you have an inward spring. You have the springing up into everlasting life. But then there's a spring. How many know there's a difference between a spring and a river? There's a spring. Oh, good. That's enough for me and mine. That's the local. River, that's like, you know, that's like the Mississippi. You want to go swimming? Praise the Lord. That's it. Step in. See? So you have the power of the river of the Holy Ghost given at the 40 days after Jesus left, right before He ascended. Or at least He told them about it. And then, how many know, 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, same day the law was given, coming down from the mountain. The day of Pentecost was the day the law was given, but the day we were set free. The day the power of God empowered you to do the law that you had no power to do before. Amen? Your sins were forgiven, but now you're empowered. Now you're empowered. Not to just heal, not to just lay hands on the sick, but to live godly. Amen? It's powerful. The Holy Spirit is not just about, power and healings, tongues, but it's about sanctification and holiness. The Holy Spirit takes of His and shows it to you. He reveals everything that I have told you. The Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. He is the teacher. I'm going to send you another comforter, another teacher. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want to begin to just look through many of the stories you've seen and we've talked about, you know, over the years, but I just want to just bring them to you. And I want us to meditate upon these things, because this is the church. This is the life. This is what we how we live. Amen? See, the life of the church, you know, has become the American life, the American way, the American, you know, dream. You know, church on Sunday, work on Monday. You know, that's the American dream. We're free to go to church on Sunday, glory to God. Then we're free to get out of church and go on to work on Monday. So God, His interest though, even in when He was talking those 40 days. See, those guys all had work and job before that. In fact, when Jesus was killed, they decided, well, Peter, you know, Peter was all depressed. Even when Jesus was walking around, he says, "Well, I'm going fishing. I'm going back fishing. I'm going back to do what I know to do." Anybody like that? Seem like God's not coming through. The things ain't working the way they were supposed to work. You know, people, the church wasn't the church to me. Things didn't work out quite right, so I'm just going to go back to fishing. I'm just going to go back to know what I know. Jesus was saying to them, said, everything has changed. Everything has changed. What you knew is in the past. Now this is the kingdom of heaven. Everything you do is for the kingdom of heaven. All the work that you do is for the kingdom of heaven. Whatever it is that you put your hand to, it's for the kingdom of heaven. It's for the neighbor. It's for the one, because Jesus went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. How many know that's what Joyce does? Amen. Not because Joyce is better than Kathleen, but it's because Joyce has changed. Joyce knows who she is. Kathleen knows who she is. God has transformed you into a kingdom, person, into a kingdom resident. How many are irritated with your homeowners association? I don't have one, so I'm not irritated. I mean, those are the guys that, you know, bother you with all the rules and the regulations. You're not under the rules and the regulations. You're under heaven. Amen? You're under heaven. Let's look at Acts chapter 6. This is talking about Stephen and the deacons that were anointed in Acts chapter 6. It's talking about Stephen, and if we look at verses 8, 9, and 10, says, then there arose, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not, listen to this, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. They were not able to resist the spirit and the wisdom by which he spoke. That's so powerful because that's you. That's you. Say, that's me. I didn't hear you. Did you hear yourself? That's me. One more time. Say, you know, I don't care if I offend you. Amen. Isn't that good? I'm not small enough, you know, who cares, right? You know, yeah, if you're here, you're here on purpose. You're here because God sent you. So what it is that you say these things so you can hear yourself. Amen? So you can hear yourself. Oh, gee, did I say that? Is that this is you, the spirit and the wisdom by which you speak. That's what changes the world. That's what changed everybody. That's what changed anyone who came near the gospel. Like, for instance, Marcy, Glenda, and Renee, is that they're not able to resist. Now, they can resist, like physically or you know, whatever. But the point is that the wisdom of God and the Spirit of God is grabbing you and making a change on the inside of somebody. That word planted bears fruit. That word planted is, now you say, well, that were hard ground. Ah, well, glory to God. God will bring that word again. They can be walking by another transportation mechanism. Amen? How many know that word is everywhere? They're going to get it somewhere. Hallelujah. Well, they were hard ground this week. Well, something else happened to break them up. Something else happened to break it up. Break up the ground. Amen? Something happened to pull a rock out of that since then. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began to be able to minister in that place. So don't give up hope on people. Amen? Don't give up hope on people. Because that spirit and that wisdom is irresistible. Doesn't mean somebody can't. And we're not talking about predestination where everybody's going to get saved and people who are not going to get saved, not going to get saved. The people who are. But what's going to happen is that Word of God is going to make an impact. Your life makes an impact wherever you are. Amen? Whether you can talk about it or not. Jenny's life makes an impact, you know, on students because she's a light because she's light. Not because she's over there trying to work it up. Amen? It's not because you're working it up. It's because it's who you are. It's because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you and He is light. That's why you are the light of the world. Did you know you're the light? Huh? The gospel didn't make it around the world because of man's plans. Well, we've got some good plans these days, brother. We've got some big events planned. No, the gospel happened because Paul told his neighbor. The gospel happened because somebody told somebody next to him. The gospel happened because somebody told somebody else next door and looked at him and said, man, how come you're so happy and I'm so miserable? That's how the gospel spread. Amen? Hallelujah! It's powerful. This is your joy. This is your whole life. Amen? Now, if you don't believe me because your feelings got hurt or because you're you know, upset about what somebody did, repent. Go ahead. Do it now. Go ahead and repent right now. Hallelujah. Okay, good. I'm glad that's done. Now you're no longer angry. You're no longer mad. You forgave everybody. You know, you forgave your husband. You forgave the wife. You forgave the neighbor. You forgave the grandma. You know, you forgave everybody right now, just now, right? Everybody's free? Well, it's going to take a while. No, it's not. Because you just do it by faith. Amen? You don't have to feel it. Don't even have to work it up. All you do is obey the word. And you don't obey the word because you feel like obeying the word. You just obey the word because God said do it and you know it's a good idea. It is a good idea. Praise the Lord. All right, look here. Acts chapter 7. Now we're coming to the end of Stephen's got a message. And his message is going on and on and on. And he went all the way from Abraham all the way to salvation through Jesus Christ. And so here in chapter 7, verse 51, let's look at that. And he ends up his sermon like this, kind of like I'm doing to you. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers do, so do you. Well, my goodness. That's not very nice preaching, is it? I mean, you're supposed to have a nice invitation and music going by now at the end of this message. So he says, you're stiff-necked and uncircumcised. I don't like to read this. Let's read this again. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. How many of those? That's us. That's it. Amen. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. Now, what's funny is, remember what he said back here? You can't resist the wisdom. They couldn't resist. He says, you do resist, but earlier he said, they can't resist. They're going to try. You do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, and so do you. And now let's look at, now he goes on and on. Let's go ahead and look down at verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Isn't that exciting? Boy, that's a good testimony for you when you can show people you've been gnashed on me, you know? Evan, you know, out there when they're out visitation and evangelizing on the streets, you know. People gnashing on you with their teeth. But he being full of the Holy Ghost, what did he say? He was what? Oh, thank you. He looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Now there's an exciting evangelistic service right there. And that's what the Holy Ghost said, you can't resist. Now, what happens when they can't resist is something else. Now, they may come upon you. Some people may not like you. Some people may not be happy with you. Amen? You're not bothered by that, are you? Because God likes you. He's happy. And the fact is that you're filled with the Holy Ghost and the love of God. The Holy Ghost and the love of God fill you up. You, I hope you're aware of that. Because this is who you are. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He comes in and He indwells you and you become Jesus' hands and feet. You become Jesus in the world. You are the ministry of Jesus. Amen? Now again, don't look at it as something, well, I got to measure up to Jesus. Not a chance. Ain't going to happen. What's going to happen is you're worshiping God, you're glorifying Him, you're thanking Him, and again, chair number four, through the tribulations that we're going through, that God is breaking flesh and causing us to walk in such a powerful way of love that you don't even understand it. And when anything else comes up in you, you just repent of it and say, Father, thank you that you're walking in love through me. Thank you that the Holy Ghost is walking in love through me. Thank you that the Spirit of the living God is flowing through me. This is who I am. Anybody know that's who you are? See, you are not trying to be Jesus. You're not working it up or making an attempt to produce Jesus. What you're doing is stepping into the presence of the Lord and knowing that His promise is true and what He said He would accomplish that He will do. And you worship Him, and you thank Him, and you trust Him, and you say, Father, thank you that you're loving through me. Thank you that, Lord God, you're causing the weakness of my flesh to be destroyed. That's what my desire is, that all of my flesh go out. When John began to be asked about Jesus by his own disciples, he said, I must decrease. He must increase. Isn't that true of you? Isn't that true of me? I must decrease. And God said, I'll help you with that. I'll help you with that. I'll give you a husband that'll help you with that. I'll give you children that'll help you with that. I'll give you a wife that'll help you. I was going to get to that. I was going to give you a wife that'll help you with that. I'll give you a mother-in-law that'll help you with that. And you'll have to love her. Glory to God. I could never get divorced. I'd have to break in a new set of in-laws. And that'd just be a real bad idea. I got the best in-laws in the whole world. I'm telling you, you just couldn't have any better. Amen? Praise the Lord. God's good. I'm praying for y'all that y'all get some like me. Amen? But I've got other things. I've got other things. Amen? Like I'm like you. I've got other things. Praise the Lord. Oh, He's so good. He says, all my afflictions. Paul said, I love this scripture. I can't even tell you where it is right now. He said, all of these things happen. Perils on the sea, perils in the world, peril, everywhere a peril. We got perils everywhere. But they all fell out to the glory of glory of the gospel. They all fell out to where God was glorified. It's like everything that ever went wrong just turned out right. You believe that? I had plenty of things that turned out wrong. Well, they're not done yet. They're not done yet because you're not done yet. You're still here. Amen? You're still here. And you know what? When all those things are going wrong, God's working on you. He just, give me a wrench. Okay, give me a screwdriver. Okay, give me a hammer. Somebody was waiting for that one. Give me a saw. Guillotine? Yeah. No, we need stuff you can buy at Sears. You know, effective tools. Amen. God's doing that. Amen. Isn't He doing that? Isn't that good? I mean, He just loves you so much. He's just taking you apart and putting you back together His way. Thank you, Jesus. It's just rough. Josh? I'm telling you, Josh, it's rough. He's taking you apart and putting you back together. And you're not sure He knows what He's doing. Wait a minute, don't put that there! He's moving things around. He comes in and moves your furniture. My wife moves the furniture. How about y'all? It's okay until it's dark in the middle of the night. And you start tripping over things. All right, let's look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem had heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John. Well, that'd be like if we sent Dave and Dave. It'd be like if we sent Dave and Dave. They sent to them Peter and John. Great. Oh, this will be a lot of help. They sent to them Peter and John. Who, when they were come down, they prayed for them. Now they'd heard that. Now, what did that first verse say? They heard that Samaria had received the word of God. So they received the word of God that Jesus was born again, or Jesus had died for them, and he bought salvation for them and purchased justification. And he says, now, so they'd received that word. And he said, when they were come down, they prayed for them and they might receive what? The Holy Ghost. So they'd already received the Word of God and now they're going to receive the Holy Ghost. Well, there's two good things right there. For as he was yet fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now when do you get baptized? After you have confessed your belief. So they've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And now they need to lay hands on them so they'd be filled with the Holy Ghost, so they'd be fully prepared. Because living down in Samaria is a tough thing. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, but only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. We're just like Jesus said they would. He said, if you ask the Father, you'll receive the Holy Ghost. Amen? Said, how many of you know that the Father gives good gifts to His children? And then if anybody who asks for the whole, if you, yeah, if a child asks for an egg, He's not going to give him a scorpion. If a child asks for a bread, He's not going to give him a stone, talking about the Father. And if He asks for a fish, He's not going to give him an eel, a serpent, a snake. So how much more, you being then evil, how much more is the Heavenly Father going to give to you the Holy Ghost if you ask? So when you ask, you receive. Well, I didn't pray in tongues right away. Well, that's okay. Go home and pray in tongues. You're probably a little nervous standing up here in front of everybody anyway. Now some people don't are nervous at all. The Holy Spirit just runs right over them and they start speaking in tongues immediately. Didn't happen to me. I was all nervous about everybody standing around wondering when I was going to pray in tongues. When's he going to get it? When's he going to get it, brother? Hold on, brother. Let go, brother. God gives the gift of the Holy Ghost. You'll pray in other tongues. God will bless you with it. Do I have to? No, you don't have to. Glory to God. You get to. You don't have to pray in tongues. You get to. See, the Bible says that any man, if he's prays in an unknown tongue, he's not speaking to men, but he's speaking to God. For in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. And no one understands him. So he wasn't speaking French. He wasn't speaking German. I always like to refer back to the story when the Holy Spirit fell in Acts chapter 1. That he said all the folks, they heard them speak. They all heard them speak in his own language, each in his own language. Hey, they're speaking Phrygian. No, they're speaking Greek. No, they're speaking Hebrew. No, they're speaking whatever else language they had. Parthian. They're speaking Median. Each one, it said, they all heard them speak, each in his own language, wherein he was born. So speaking in the other tongue, it was an unknown tongue they were speaking in. They were, because what did he say? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, when you're speaking an unknown tongue, you're glorifying God. You're speaking to God. And there in in the first chapter of Acts, he talks about that. He says, that each heard them speak the wonderful works of God. Yet they heard it in their own language. The miracle was in the hearing. So they laid their hands on them in Samaria, and they received the Holy Ghost. I'd love to look at a little further down here in 8:29. And I'm going to have to quit here pretty quick. So then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. And there's an Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot going home. And Philip ran there to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he decided and he desired that Philip would come on up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray you, of whom speaks this prophet, of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. And as they went on their ways, they came to water. And he said, the eunuch said, here's water. What does prevent me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still and went both down of them into the water, and both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And then when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So Philip is told what? First thing he's told to do is, he said, the Holy Ghost said. Everybody say, the Holy Ghost said. Isn't that powerful that the Holy Ghost would say something? He actually says something. And the Holy Ghost read the Scripture. No, he didn't say the Holy Ghost read the Scripture. He said the Holy Ghost said, go join yourself that chariot. Let's see here. Paul, stand up. Okay, you can sit down now. Now, he didn't find that in the Bible where I said stand up. And he wouldn't have stood up, and he asked the Holy Ghost before he stood up if he should stand up. So the Holy Ghost said, Paul, go ahead and stand up. Because I know he was asked the Holy Ghost before he, you know, it's kind of like Mother May I. You gotta, before I ask you to do something, before you do what I say, you gotta ask the Holy Ghost. Did you say that? My point to you is this, that the Holy Ghost will tell you to do something, Brian. The Holy Ghost will tell you to do something. Has he ever told you to do something? Have you heard him? Isn't that powerful? He actually told you to do something. Joyce, the Holy Ghost told you to do something. You didn't just read a scripture and apply the scripture to you. He actually spoke to your heart. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Holy Spirit, go for it, brother. I don't know if the Holy Ghost told you that or the bulletin. You always do everything the bulletin says. Oh, okay. Well, I bet we better. I don't know about that. I know this one was. I got a bulletin that was written by the Holy Ghost. All right. So they come out of the water, and the Holy Ghost spoke to Philip. He said, go join yourself that chariot. Then what happened? Then the Holy Ghost didn't even ask him. He just grabbed him and took him over to Azotus. Because he probably didn't know where Azotus was. And they don't have Google. So he just picked him up and took him. They didn't have American Airlines. You know. So the Holy Ghost just picks you up and takes you where he wants you to go. All right, one more. We'll do one more little quickie. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Now, obviously, this is not the guy who died earlier. It's a different Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision. So the Lord may say in a still small voice in your heart, your belly, in your back, right back about here. He may speak to you. Or he said to Ananias in a vision. Ananias, he said, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prays. And he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Down to verse 17. And Ananias went his way. Now the part I'm skipping is the part where Ananias argues with him. You can read that for yourself. Sometimes when God gives you a vision, you argue with him. And if you want to see that part, you can read it for yourself. I'm going to skip over that. I'm sure you know how to argue with God all by yourself. That's just a joke. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to you in the way as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so he was. And the scales fell from his eyes, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And finally, look in verse 31. This is after they'd taken Paul around for a while because everybody was scared of the guy. That's what the argument was. Ananias had with the Lord about is, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to go see this guy or not. I don't know, he might just kill me when I walk in the door. He said, no, you just go do what I tell you. See, sometimes you may be nervous about what God told you to do because you don't know what the circumstances are that you're walking in on. Anybody like that? Amen? Huh? Say amen. That's one of you. Praise the Lord. The rest of you, I guess you just obey God at the drop of a hat. Well, praise the Lord. But now, he said, verse 31 said, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Remember, he's the comforter. And they were multiplied. So this is after Paul has been taken down and put into the service of Jesus Christ. Some of you probably still need to be taken down and put into the service of Jesus. Amen? You're still living your own life. Amen? I've got spots like that, don't you? Huh? Still making my own decisions? You like that? You taking care of business the way you think business ought to be taken care of? Huh? Hallelujah. God's good. Father, we thank you for trouble. We thank you for affliction. We thank you that these afflictions are those things which are causing me to be transformed. It was good for me that I was afflicted. For now have I kept your word. So Father, we thank you right now for the power and the ministry of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are transforming us and you're showing us exactly how the Holy Spirit begins to work in us, how He begins to move in us, how He begins to use us as vessels of His glory and of His honor, to lay hands upon the sick, to cast out devils, to be transformed from one degree of glory into the next, to be changed into that same image. Father, we thank you for that right now. And Father, I thank you for each one here today who is hearing this word. Father, who is realizing that their entire life is to be led and filled and brought into fruition by the Holy Spirit. Father, that we don't live our own life. That the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Father, I pray for each one here this morning. Lord, I pray for myself. Lord, that all of these things that have prevented us from walking in the Holy Spirit and from being free from this world, free from sin, free from our own idea and our own thoughts of what must happen and what I must do, what I think I ought to do. Father, thank you for delivering us into the presence of the mighty God so that we're transformed and changed. That the afflictions of this life are not things that we fear. But Father, we are grateful for them so that they are destroying our flesh, that which is rebelling against you, so that we might live in the fullness of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, in the fullness of what you have provided. So we give you praise and thanksgiving for it. Father, if anyone has need of salvation, justification through Jesus Christ today, through believing upon His death and His resurrection, as we celebrate it in the communion this morning. Father, thank you that you bring them to your presence right now. Father, that they say, Father, I thank you that you've died for my sins and you bore my sins upon the cross here at Calvary and you have destroyed the work of the enemy. And Father, that I believe that your blood has provided for me entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Father, someone who would say that today is born again. Someone who would say that today has received the Word of God as we spoke this morning. And Father, that they would be, if necessary, come and be filled with the Holy Spirit, have hands laid upon them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that they might know the fullness of the wisdom of God, that they might know the fullness of the power of God. And Father, for any other need, we thank you. For healing, for ministry, for a home that's in disarray. And Father, we lift up each one this morning. And we give you praise and thanksgiving that those who have heard the word will receive it and be changed forever. And I give you praise and thanksgiving that you cause us to meditate upon these things. so that we know the truth and the truth that makes us free. We give you praise for it. Hallelujah.